نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد عن ابي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه انه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال حين يصبح وحين يمسي حسبي الله لا اله الا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم سبع مرات كفاه الله ما اهمه من امر الدنيا والاخره او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. حضرت ابو الدرداء رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ reported hadith we have been discussing over the past few days, in which Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that whosoever will say hasbi allah la ilaha illa hu عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ 7 times in the mornings, 7 times in the evenings, Allah Ta'ala will suffice for him for all his worries and problems and pains and difficulties of this world and the Akhirat. Now, I have been discussing the meaning of this ayat, that it is not just the recitation of some words, that it goes with the iman and yaqeen of the heart. When a person has got that iman in his heart, when he is abstaining from sins, is trying his level best to do that which is ordered by Allah Ta'ala, and he tries his level best to restrain himself from all that Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited, then in the form of trial or test or some punishment that has come because of the sins, whatever it may be, but if the person then recites this in the mornings and evenings, Allah Ta'ala will definitely find a way out for him in his problems, and Allah Ta'ala will definitely suffice for him. One brother wanted to know yesterday, he said that he did not understand that what did that disconnecting of the speedo cable have to do with this dua that I was teaching or I was explaining. So I said what that had to do was that here we have a person who is reciting probably this dua or other duas that have come in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he is not getting the desired effect. He is not seeing the fruits of that dua. And sometimes he thinks that I'm making my namaz 5 times a day, I'm giving bayan on iman yaqeen, I'm engaged in so much of dini work and activities, then why is it that I'm not getting the desired results? Now here there was one simple thing or some sin of his which became apparent to me. It's not that we go out in search of somebody's sins, but certain sins just become apparent, and it might have been for the hidayat of that person, that something that he was not even considering as a sin, that here he has purchased a car and he has disconnected the speedo cable and he is driving around. Now for what is he doing that? It's obvious, and he admitted himself that there was no other reason except that the mileage will show low on that car, so when he is trading it in or when he is selling it, he is going to get a better price. So is that not cheating? Is that not deception? Is that not a sin and a crime in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So there are so many sins of this nature which we do not even consider as sins. A person is casting lustful glances at women left, right and center, and in the month of Ramadan, and he is enjoying also inside his heart this evil. And then he is making namaz also, he is making zikr also, he is making tilawat also, and he is going for hajj also, he is going for umrahs also, and he is reading these duas also. And after that he says that I do not know why I am not getting the desired results. The reason is that those sins that you were committing, at least if you considered them as sins and made tawbah, then you will get the desired results. But there are so many sins which we do not even consider as sins, that is more dangerous than committing the sin and considering it as a sin. So now in this case, as I said, that this was the problem with this person. And like that, we should take a lesson from that. that there are so many sins of this nature that we indulge in and we do not consider it as sins. And also about the insurance thing that I was talking about, that we are always bombarded that take out insurance for everything. Insure yourself, insure your home, insure your car, insure your business, insure everything. Why? Because if any harm comes, then the insurance company will pay. So I mentioned that it is not a question of fatwa. There are certain fatwas given, and I also give the same fatwa in the case of many people, when you know that that person's iman is so weak that if he is not going to take out that insurance, and tomorrow if some difficulty comes, tomorrow if there's some burning or looting or if there's some damage to his car or property, then that person will say, Nauzubillah, Nauzubillah, see we heard that Maulana speak that you mustn't take out insurance, and I didn't take out, so see what happened now. If I had my insurance, then I would have been saved and protected. The insurance company would have paid me out. So now his iman will go away. So at such a time, it's better that he considers the haram as haram, but that his iman stays intact. At least his iman does not go away. Whereas, to any sensible Muslim, we are not talking about the kuffar, the Yahud and the Nasara. Their whole way of thinking is different. But I'm talking about to any sensible Muslim. If a person has insured his property for 1 million, or has insured his life for 1 million, or has insured something else for 1 million or 10 million, now tomorrow if something happens, if he just paid one installment, he only paid one premium, and the damage took place, the house got burnt, now the insurance company is going to pay him out. Now what have they paid him for? He only paid one premium of 200, 500 or 1,000 rand. Now they are going to pay him 1 million. Now where did they get that 1 million from? All the interest money that has been sucked out of the poor and others, now all that they will take and pay it to this person. In other words, all the filth, they are now going to give it to this person. Now he will take that filth and put it back into his property, and he's very happy that I got a new home again, I got a new car again, but he does not know what he has got in return. Then all the difficulties come on the body, it comes on the family, it comes somewhere else. How many things are you going to insure? If you're going to insure one thing, then that azab or that bala, Allah Ta'ala will bring it onto something else. If that person is going to insure that, he's going to bring it onto something else. And then if he has insured himself also, then he might meet up with an accident and land up in the hospital and be paralyzed for life, then what is that insurance money going to help him? So this is what we must build up inside. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu. When we are saying, O Allah, we place our trust in you. It is in Allah whom we place our trust. So then we must firmly believe that we must do that which is right. And after that, if there is any damage, there is any harm that has come, then it is either in the way of a test for this person, or it is some bala, something that was going to come. It was going to come on his life, it was going to come on the life of his child, on the life of the family, or something serious was going to happen. Allah Ta'ala caused the damage to come on the property or come on the car or somewhere and protected them. Or Allah Ta'ala wants to give the person much, much more in return, in a better form. Sometimes Allah takes away a little and gives that person so much in return when he is patient that the person does not even know where it came from. Or Allah Ta'ala will keep it for the akhirat, and it has been mentioned in the hadith that when people will start getting the rewards in the akhirat for those difficulties that came upon them in this world, then when they will look at those in'am and those rewards that those people are getting in the akhirat, they will wish that our bodies, our skin had been pulled out with scissors in the world, so that we get all these rewards in the akhirat. They will desire that in the akhirat. Of course, we are weak. We must never ask Allah Ta'ala for any kind of sickness or disease or accident or damage to property or life. We must always ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. We must ask Him for protection. We must ask Him for security. We must ask Him for good health. We must ask for biryani all the time. But if you get dal, then make shukr on the dal and eat it. But ask for the best from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must not ask for any kind of problems. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi was giving a talk on the virtues of of difficulties and trials and pain and sickness, what are the virtues, what are the rewards. Now he was talking about all these things as being a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, as being a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Suddenly a person came and he complained of severe pain in his hand and lots of other problems. So now those people who were sitting around him, they were just wondering that what will Hazrat say, because just now he was saying that all these things are rahmat. Now if he said, now this man is saying, Hazrat, make dua for me, I've got terrible pain in my hand and I've got a dislocated shoulder and I've got pain in my stomach and I've got this problem and that problem. So now if Hazrat is going to raise his hand and say, Ya Allah, give him cure, take all his pain and sickness away. So in other words, he's saying, Ya Allah, that rahmat that was coming of yours, take it away. So those who were sitting there, they said that now we were very concerned as to what kind of dua will he make. So Hazrat raised his hands and he said, make dua. And he said, Ya Allah, sickness, pain, ill health, all these things are rahmat. Good health, wealth, and all the rest of the other ni'mats, they are also rahmat. Ya Allah, because we are very weak, we cannot bear this rahmat of pain. We can't bear it. We are very weak. So change this rahmat of pain into the rahmat of good health. Now see how he reconciled the two in a beautiful way. Once one doctor asked me to make dua for him. He was opening up new practice and he says, must come and make dua. So I said, what dua you want me to make? All must get sick and come to your practice. He said, because that's a dua I have to make. If you're opening a practice, then I have to make a dua, Ya Allah, make people sick. And so now he too got worried that what am I going to do? So I said, no, we will make dua that, Ya Allah, people are going to fall sick. There are many people that are going to fall sick and ill. So those who are going to fall sick and ill, it is in their taqdeer to fall ill, they will be going to some doctor or the other. So make them come to your practice. Ya Allah, make those patients come to this person's practice, to his surgery. And then, O Allah, put shifa in the medication that this doctor will then dispense. So now there's a reconciliation there, that you haven't made dua that, Ya Allah, make everybody sick. And at the same time, he wants a dua that Allah Ta'ala must give him barakat in his rizq. Then I said, this is the way now, that there will be people that will be falling sick and ill. So Allah Ta'ala must put cure into the medication that he will dispense. So what I was getting across is this, that these du'as are very powerful. Otherwise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not have taught the ummat. But it is the yaqeen that goes with this du'a. Put that yaqeen into this du'a and then ask of Allah Ta'ala. And wallah, I can take qasam upon qasam upon qasam. Why I say these things in this masjid is that sometimes it seems that we do not have that kind of confidence in what is being said. So to give you that assurance that what I am telling you, it is the truth and nothing but the truth, because it is the experience of many, many people throughout the ages who have connected themselves with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that they made dua in difficult situations and Allah Ta'ala found a way out for them in their problems. But it must go with that yaqeen. May Allah Ta'ala give us that kind of yaqeen, that when we read these duas, then we see the fruits also of these duas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us about. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم.